What is up? It is me, George G. We've got another awesome episode of the Aligned Money Show coming your way featuring none other than Bill Cates. He has been helping financial advisors become better financial advisors for four decades. We had a great conversation that, of course, started with Two Truths and a Lie. And then we got into his newest book, which is The Hidden Heist, Stop Robbing Yourself of Lasting Wealth, what he's hoping to accomplish with this awesome new book, which he wrote as a parable book because we all appreciate the power of story. And a lot of it comes down to uncovering negative or limiting beliefs that so many of us, including myself, have around money, things like resentment and shame and just not feeling good about what we're doing or where we're going. But the reality is that it's never too late and that there is the opportunity to turn things around and even find redemption. I know you're going to love it. Let's go. Bill, to get us started, give me two truths and a lie, please, sir.
All right, two truths and a lie, easy. I reached the summit of Mount Kilimanjaro at 19,300 feet. I visited Mount Everest Base Camp at 17,600 feet. And I reached the summit of Mount Denali at 20,310 feet.
Wow. Well, this is nearly impossible because you've given me three very famous mountains and numbers with each one that I have no idea if they're accurate or not. So I don't know. I'm not sure that we can accept these. I'm going to say that the Everest one is the lie.
Actually, the Denali one is the lie.
Darn it.
Yeah, the highest I've been is 19.3. Had trouble breathing at that one. Didn't do Denali. Denali's a little more technical. Base Camp and Killy are just hard hikes. Killy was a little bit of scrambling, a little bit of hand over fist. Denali, there's more technical involved, and I didn't do that.
Wow, you even have a nickname for a mountain. Killy.
Well, it's Killy. Anyway, anybody's been to Mount Kilimanjaro, they call it Killy. It's what you do.
It's common knowledge. That is just that everybody knows that. Everybody knows that. All right. Well, when you're not mountaineering, you are helping people do lots of things, but you're also an author, obviously. Your newest book is The Hidden Heist, Stop Robbing Yourself of Lasting Wealth. Tell me about how this came to be, Bill Cates.
Yeah, so I'll try to condense it quickly. It's all based on the premise of if we want to fix a challenge, a complaint, to take advantage of an opportunity, we got to look at strategies. Yeah, we got to look at tactics. But sometimes we have to take a step back and look at our beliefs. And sometimes we have limiting beliefs, mistaken beliefs that don't allow us to see the full picture. And so we miss options, miss opportunities, and that holds us back. And so I wanted to write a book around that, and I went through a lot of different machinations on this one. But since I've been in financial services for over 34 years, I thought, all right, it should probably be around money and your money story. Most people have a broken money story. Money intersects every aspect of one's life. There's not a part of a life that isn't intersected somehow with money. So I decided to hone in on that. And I decided I wanted it to be a parable book. For those who are familiar with a parable book, it's fiction, but it teaches. So it doesn't go into quite the depth of character and scene development as a typical novel would, but there's some of that. But I wanted it to have a really interesting story. So I decided I wanted it to be in a bank robbery. And the first line of the book is everybody face down on the floor. Now, most parable books are a little light, fluffy. Yeah, look, there's a little tension because there's a challenge that the main character needs to overcome. You can often predict what the ending's going to be. I wanted something different. I wanted something really fascinating. And so that's why we picked the bank robbery. And so The Hidden Heist, which, by the way, I didn't like that title at first. It came from my co-author. I'm the straightforward information guy. I've written 7 nonfiction books, you know, how to get more referral business, how to talk about your value more effectively. But I needed a co-author. So Jeff C. West is my co-author, and he's a professional parable book writer. And he brought the ideas and the characters to life. And I was a little concerned that because the story is so interesting and there's a lot of humor too, a lot of comic relief in there as these bumbly bank robbers try to figure out how to get out of this predicament. Everyone else is gathered in a vault and they're talking about money. You know, why are they robbing the bank and what are the beliefs around this? But I've got three appendices at the end. This that kind of was my way of saying, all right, you got absorbed in the story. You love the story, some twists and turns. You got some lessons. Let's make sure you really do get the lesson. So here's what I was trying to teach. So that's kind of at the end. And that, in a nutshell, is the book, The Hidden Heist, the subtitle, Stop Robbing Yourself of Lasting Wealth. And we have a kind of a sub-subtitle, which is An Irresistible Tale of Financial Redemption. So there is some financial redemption that takes place, a little twist at the end. I'll shut up and let you ask the next question.
Do you think that financial redemption is possible for everyone?
Probably not. and we don't want to get into too deep on that one. But, you know, it's funny because the book does talk about some of the stereotypes, like rich people are greedy, grifters, cheaters, unethical, yada, yada, yada. Well, my co-author Jeff C.S. came up with a great line that I love, and we used it when you hear stereotypes. When most stereotypes, there's a kernel of truth, right? There's a reason why that stereotype got created, but it's not always the full picture, and usually it's a gross generalization that's often unfair. And so his statement is, well, some are, most aren't. And so, yeah, the ones that we hear about and the ones that sometimes create resentment towards wealthy people can happen are the ones that are in the news and the ones that have committed crimes or the ones that are questionable in their procedures. And so that's what we see. We don't see the vast majority of wealthy people who do some pretty dang good work in this world and use money for good contributions and care about their clients and their employees, all of that. So we don't often see that. But here's the deal, and here's how it ties into the book. I've conducted over 100 money story interviews, just the stories of people and how they learned of their beliefs and their. And so there's one guy I interviewed, a guy named Michael, who grew up in a home where his parents resented wealthy people. There was a very negative energy there. And so he grew up with that. And that became part of his money story, his self-talk. Now, you can't become what you resent. And so he had to work on that. He had to work and overcome that so that he could then achieve the financial success he wanted to in this life. That's one of many of the beliefs and assumptions that need to be addressed in people's lives. And for myself, when I learned how money worked, that's what allowed me to see my mistaken beliefs and assumptions. There's different ways to get at it. But for me and for a lot of people, when you learn how money really works and you learn there's an unlimited resource, it's not a scarce resource. I mean, it might be in your pocket at the moment, but it doesn't have to be. And you'll learn other things, learn about compounding and all those other basic principles. Then you realize, oh, I've been approaching it, where did I get that idea? So my parents, for instance, lived through the Depression. So they saw money as something to guard, but not something to grow. And so that's what I initially brought with me. Yes, okay, I saved, they saved, but they didn't invest. And most of the people listening to this know the difference. And so I came late to the investment party. I caught up quite nicely, but nonetheless, could be even better off had I known about that. So that's some of the things we address in the book. And for a lot of folks, it's just the book is a starting point, right? All right, so yeah, this speaks to me. Now what do I do? When you become aware of your broken money story and you can start to make different decisions, I know that you have a lot of financial advisors who listen to your show. Advisors are starting to use the book first a little bit for themselves and their team, right? What are we believing around this? Because we're human. And then how do we bring more empathy to our clients and our clients' money story? And then a lot of other regular folks are using. We had one advisor just bought 75 copies to give out to his clients and prospects. But shortly after this conversation with you, George, I'm going to work out with my personal trainer. He bought 3 copies of the book to give to his children for Christmas. So I'm bringing a pen to autograph the books that he bought. So it's giving the gift of wealth, but it's of a wealth mindset and basic principles. And I'm not trying to replace financial advisors. In fact, we make a strong case in the book for working with the right professional for you. This is just a starting point to become more aware of where you are and perhaps the work that needs to be done.
Well, I certainly recognize the value, and I love that you decided to make it a parable book because we love stories.
Yes.
And I, as a financial advisor, certainly wouldn't view this as anything other than a new tool that I get to incorporate either for right. myself and my team and my clients. So everything you just said, I definitely agree with. Mm. I mean, you think about the most famous personal finance books. It's The Richest Man in Babylon. It's the barber of there's some barber book, which I'm not going to be able to
The Wealthy Barber. You're thinking about The Wealthy Barber. Yeah.
Yep. And these are just
David Chilton. Good book. Yep.
Wonderful, wonderful parable books that help us to get across really important information. Yep. So when you mentioned redemption, it wasn't that I thought this is some convict to Bernie Madoff who's going to get redemption. I went more to, I'm at this point in my life and I just haven't had the success or done the things that I needed, but the ability mm-hmm. to find success is still available to me.
Well, yes. And so actually the book kind of addresses both actually, because there is one of the characters, one of the bank robbers, who grows out of this experience. They all go to jail. I'll just give that one. They get caught. But there's some good stuff that comes out of that. And so on that sense. But yeah, there's also the message that, number one, it's never too late to start. Starting earlier is better than later, but it's never too late. And the shift in the mindset is usually the first step, because that then opens up the opportunity for the other strategies to take to do. So you know, when you say redemption too, you made me think a little bit about shame. There's a lot of people have shame around money. I didn't know that was a thing at first. Until I interviewed a gal, Tammy Lally, who did a TED talk on money shame that has 2.3 million views. So obviously it is a thing. And I've learned that when it comes to anxiety and shame and stress, it knows no income levels. It's at all income levels. I mean, wealthy people, anxious, fearful they're going to lose their money, feel shameful, maybe because they didn't earn it, they inherited it, so they feel shame, right? Other people don't have much. They feel shame about their bad decisions. But all that shame will do is hold you back, right? You got to fix that one. So
that is,
you
that
made
is
me think
the truth,
of that with redemption.
Man.
Yeah.
Every time I do, I get the opportunity to speak to a group of investors, just regular people outside of mm-hmm. the business. Right. I always start with, say, hey, I'm fortunate. I've made a lot of great financial decisions over the course of my life, and I've done pretty much all the dumb ones. I want people to know that because I don't want them to feel like, oh, this guy just, you know, he knows everything about money, and here I am feeling embarrassed and ashamed, because that's not productive, because that just keeps us stuck.
Right.
And unless you had some kind of a perfect childhood, and I hope everybody did, you've got some kind of negative or limiting belief about success or money, and that is without question, you know, robbing ourselves of our lasting wealth, because yes. it's causing us to either do things that are not good or not do things that we need to be doing.
Exactly. Yep.
So uncovering those is so imperative. How do you think about that? How do I begin that sort of process of trying to figure out if I have a negative or a limiting belief?
Yeah, well, the first thing to do is a couple things. First of all, is there a complaint? In other words, do you think you should be further along than where you are now? Hmm. Do you find yourself in the trap of comparing yourself with others? Common human trait. I've done it. Do you find yourself, this happened to me, by the way, do you find yourself making financial decisions where at least part of the motivation is to demonstrate to others that you've been successful. There was a time where I equated my net worth with my self-worth and vice versa, right? And that's a booby prize. And it really stems from something deeper that I don't need to go into, but so there's a complaint, right? There's something we're not achieving that we think we should. All right. So then the next step is to then to start be self-reflective and say, all right, what do I believe, right? What do I believe about money? What do I believe about myself? What do I believe about other people in my life? And this is often work you can't do by yourself. Now, do you need a therapist or a money coach? Yeah, maybe. Not necessarily. You could have some good friends, some people who know you well. And you explain how you see yourself in the world and what you're frustrated with. And then they give you that 360 feedback. And sometimes that's enough of a wake-up call to realize, okay, I got this wrong. And the other, of course, is the flip side of the same coin, and I mentioned earlier, is about how money works. But, you know, are you covering the bases? Are you covering the basics? Are you paying yourself first? Are you spending what's left after savings versus the other? Are you taking advantage of compounding? Or are you chasing, you know, meme stocks? Are you chasing the latest fad? Are you too far in crypto because you think you're going to make a big hit? Right. So look at your behavior around that. Are you so lost in fear of making a mistake? Or are you on the other end looking for the big hit? Right. So just to start to examine your behavior again, often with the help in the book, we talk about with the help of a financial advisor. Now, some advisors, as you know, don't like to get into the touchy-feely money story. What is your feeling around money? And some won't do that. Some won't get it. So if, you know, you got to see if your advisor will do that, if that's important to you. But that's a little bit about it. It takes a lot of self-reflection. And there are money therapists, financial therapists. That gal Tammy Lally I mentioned does that with folks. Man, she took a friend of mine who, as soon as she heard my interview with Tammy, she says, I got to talk to her. I think that's my issue, right? And they did some incredible work together. And this woman, after working with Tammy, you know, has quadrupled her earning power just by realizing, you know, how she was viewing herself in a relationship with money. So it takes a little work, George. It's not something you just like flip a switch usually.
That is the truth. It is, in a lot of ways, the work to be done. And I know that you talk in the book about the importance of perspective. And
yes,
I mean, how we view the circumstances of our life is the sum of our lives. And
yep,
we have choice. I get to choose how I think and feel about things in my life.
Yeah. And you got to be open to it, and you got to be open to the change. And, you know, sometimes we give lip service to it, but then push comes to shove. Do we really want to do the work? Sometimes, as you know, the complaint has to be big enough, right? People say you got to hit rock bottom. You got to hit the pain. The pain has to be enough before you'll make the change. And then sometimes that really is true. That's what it takes to flip us into a new way of thinking and behaving. Doesn't always have to be that way. A strong aspiration, a strong emotional aspiration can also pull us forward. It can go in either direction. By the way, in the book, The Hidden Heist, we have more than the book, because I wanted the book to be short enough that people would actually read it. Because if the thicker the book looks, the more, you know, likely people aren't going to get to it. So we've created an addition to the book. When you get the book, you can register. You can get the code for the vault. And in the vault, we have lots of other tools around this. We have one called The Ordinary Millionaire. We have one around Can Money Buy Happiness? You know, the relationship with money and happiness. And, you know, the ultimate question, can money buy happiness? Well, not exactly, but there is a relationship there, and there are some things to be learned around that. It can certainly buy you opportunity. It can take stress away, which gives you a chance for more of that. So there's a lot of interesting things we put in the vault that people can tap into as well.
I love it. I've been on jet skis, Bill. And that makes me happy. With money, I could buy them.
Well, there you go. Some people say, you know, money doesn't buy you happiness, but you arrive at your problems in style.
Yeah, it's exactly right. And yeah, getting out of credit card debt.
Money, you know, money solves, you know, the only problems money solve are money problems. Well, no, actually, money can actually create more problems too, depending on your mindset, right? So the truth is everybody's different. Got to be careful about generalizations. That's why I always am careful about, you know, when people follow the quote unquote gurus on the television, you know, Dave Ramsey, Susie Orman, and some of the, don't get me wrong, they teach some very important principles. There's some good work. They've helped a lot of people. They've helping people get out of debt or, you know, and or not get into bad debt. And with all of that, you have to realize those are generalizations. And everyone's situation is different. And that's the value of a financial advisor, is that now you're getting personalized advice based on your situation. You know, when I work with financial advisors, and I've been working with them for 35 years, helping them bring in billions through more clients and such, you know, I talk to them about this concept of empathy and awareness around the client's fears and doubts and all the psychological and neurophysiological aspects of money. And so when you find a client that feels stressed around money and you put a plan in place and they feel less stressed, they feel a little sense of relief, they feel a little more peace of mind, just be aware that that underlying stress, angst, fear hasn't gone away completely. So I always recommend with advisors that every now and then you go back and you check and you say, you know, when you came to me, you were feeling it. How's that going now? Does it rear its ugly head from time to time? And if it does, what do you do? And so don't feel like you've put a plan in place and have them better invested and you've taken away all their angst and fear. No, it's still there. Maybe a little less, and maybe they know they're on the right path. But you got to help them learn how to turn that volume down on that fear radio every time it because otherwise they're going to want to go to cash when they shouldn't and all that stuff, right? So be very aware of that. Be very mindful. You will be a better advisor if you have empathy for their money story. And you will be a better advisor if you understand your own money story and how you play that in front of your team, in front of your staff. Right, if business isn't good, or if the market's down, or whatever, you're wearing that in front of your team, and so the more awareness you have, the better, and then the more you can help others with their own.
I think that's really well said, and I agree that these are some of the most important conversations to be having with ourselves and our clients, and some of the most difficult. Just because I think or know that I should be doing it doesn't mean that I know how to do it. So I really see this as your book, The Hidden Heist, as an awesome tool for helping advisors be comfortable having these kinds of conversations, whereas maybe they were not having them before. And it's a way that's really accessible. To your point, it's certainly a big enough book, but it's not too intimidating. And the fact that it is in parable form, I think, is a really powerful thing. So,
yeah, I was just going to say that it's a great, if you're not super comfortable with this, it's a great tool to get the conversation started. So you give it to the client, they read it, then you say, what do you think? Reflect on it. And then that's an ease into that. We also, by the way, put it in audio form. The other books that I've done, I've read straightforward, fine. This book has characters. This book has a bunch of characters, all based on real characters. They're real people, by the way. And so we hired a professional book actor, does Simon Schuster, does Random House Audio. And so for those who like to listen, the audio might be the best way. And it really brings the full story to life. It's people have told me that they can't turn it off. They can't put it down. It's a good enough story that it pulls you through. So that's what I wanted. So all credit to my co-author, Jeff West, to help me with that.
I love it. Well, Bill, thank you so much for coming on. Thank you for your work, and thank you for the new book, The Hidden Heist, Stop Robbing Yourself of Lasting Wealth. How can people get in touch? How can they engage? Where can they get their copy?
Sure. TheHiddenHeist.com. There's a little video trailer there. It's fun, about 1 minute. You can also listen to the first chapter on audio there, TheHiddenHeist.com. We also have a guide called The Ordinary Millionaire, TheOrdinaryMillionaire.com. And so you can check, you know, learn more about that and the book through that. And then for advisors listening, if you want to bring in more clients, go to referralcoach.com and maybe we can chat about that.
Excellent. Thanks. Well, if you enjoyed as much as I did, show Bill your appreciation. Share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Pick up your copy of The Hidden Heist. Stop robbing yourself of lasting wealth at thehiddenheist.com. And you can also listen to the first chapter of the audiobook, which I can't wait to do. Mm-hmm. And then theordinarymillionaire.com. And finally, if you are an advisor and you're interested in growing your business through referrals, referralcoach.com. Bill has been helping me and my practice for a long, long, long time, actually for about 24 years, give or take, Bill. So thank you again.
My pleasure. Thank you, George.
Finally, friendly reminder, there's never going to be anybody more interested in your financial success than you are. So act accordingly.